at the front. Come here, Samuel. Come and sit down here, good boy. The other, feel free. Can you see? If you can see where you are, that's fine. But if you can't, I'd like you to come. And that's good. Yeah. Well, good. Well done, Abraham. That's good. Kneeling down there front. So the Bible says this. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. The whole point of this church, Jesus, our Savior. Let me read from him his words this morning. But first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help us, Lord, to have tender hearts before you and before your word, that our ears would be attentive to listen, and that our hearts and our minds would be willing to change as you minister to us your truth in Jesus' name. Have your way, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. 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 So in the Gospel of John chapter 15, it says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It says, if you abide in me, notice the word if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. What you desire, not what he desires, what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, hands up if you believe in Jesus and he's your Lord. Yes? Okay. So, you believe that it shall be done for you then. You believe that? Okay. So are you living that? Are you experiencing that in your life? Less enthusiastic response. So what's the problem? Well, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So let's go to these bowls here this morning. Look, we have some bowls here. These bowls represent human life. And the spirit of a person, let's say, the spirit of a person is clear, let's say. But as soon as a person is incarnate, as soon as they become flesh, they're born into sin. You don't have to teach little children to sin. It just comes naturally. Why is that? Well, they're born into sin. And, you know, sin comes into lives, and sin taints and causes difficulties for people in life. And sin comes in all sorts of colors. And as that little child that's been incarnated into the world starts to grow, different types of sin come in. And for some people, it's one thing. For others, it's another thing. But there's all different colors of sin, and they come into the world. And people grow, and they mature, and different. They get caught in different traps of sin. Sin just comes in and affects their lives. And so you see people living their lives sometimes filled with sin. Filled they are with sin. All manner of problems and difficulties. The sin just affects them. And that sin just turns that which is on the inside of them, turns it so that it's dirty. And people can become very dirty, sick with sin. Jesus comes, and Jesus offers us his life. And he says to us, I'll give you abundant life. I'll give you the word. And you can become clean through the washing of the word. As you read the word of God, it washes you clean. As you become born again, you're washed. You're clean before God. Here's the thing. He calls us to live under his influence. And there's a huge problem in the church because many people don't choose the influence of Jesus and his words. That's why they don't experience what we've just read. My words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Where's the problem? The problem is people don't abide in his word. And when people do abide in his word and they experience this, the people who don't abide in his word complain and say, oh, it's okay for you. It's okay for you. Well, hold on a sec. It's not a case of okay for you. It's a case of you're not abiding in his word. He's called you. He's given you what to do, but you're not doing it. And so he says, abide in my word. But what happens is people then, they soak themselves like sponges. They soak themselves in the things of the world, the television, the influence of friends, can be family members, people who they respect. They start to respect that which shouldn't be respected. They start to admire that which shouldn't be admired. And then that influences them. And they carry that. And what happens is they then influence others. And they take that to other people. And that creates an influence that changes those other people. And it feeds them with that which is wrong and polluting and wicked and evil and of the enemy. And so instead of affecting people with truth and purity and the words of Jesus, what happens is they're affecting people with fake news, with the lies of the enemy, with wickedness and evil, with doubt, fear and failure. And the testimonies that we've heard this morning of people standing in faith. You meet some people and they're all doom and gloom. They're all critical, negative and critical, and criticizing other people, negative, failure, doubt, and all of that. And that's like this, it just pollutes and it spills over. But the Christian life is never meant to be like that. Jesus, the one who we are following, is calling us this morning. Please hear me. He's calling you this morning. All you young ones, okay? Start young. When you're young, don't listen to anything else. Make it your number one ambition to listen to the words of Jesus. Where do you find them? In the scriptures. Listen to the words of Jesus. Your friends, let me tell you something. You know your friends, those ones who are in school, who everyone looks up to, they may be the kingpin of the school. Let me tell you something. The chances are the poor things are fools. Don't look up to them. Look up to Jesus, the one who split history in two, into A, D, and B, C. Look up to Jesus. Jesus has got plans for you. Jesus' power in you can change this world. Amen. The question is, are you prepared to come under his influence? Are you prepared to abide in him and allow his words to abide in you? You know, when words abide in someone, what happens? What does that mean? Well, what's to abide? Where do you abide? If I ask you, where do you abide? You're going to tell me where your house is, where you live. That's what Jesus is saying. Let his words abide. How does that happen? They've got to spend a lot of time in you for that to happen. It's not just a case of reading a verse and, oh, that's very interesting. I'll take that on board. Very interesting. No. That's not it. That's not abiding. Abiding is, I've got a lunch break. What am I going to do? I'm going to take the word in me. Well, it's like you're becoming a fanatic. That's right. I'm a fanatic. I'm an absolute fanatic for Jesus. I want to take in his words. I want to be under his influence. I want to listen to godly people. And listen to them talking about what Jesus has done, talking about how he has impacted their lives. I want that for my life. I want to be under the influence of godly preachers. I love listening to preachers. I love listening to some of those preachers. I like listening to people who have just experienced this. Let me read it out one more time for you. Let's start to abide in this. This is the verse again, John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. My friends, it's not about greed. It's about the desires for life. It's about, I want to visit my family. It's about, I want to help those people over there. It's about all sorts of things that God will help us with when his word is abiding in us. That's what he's called us to as believers. He's called us to action. This is the action. Are you with me? This is the action. And then what happens is, because we've been abiding in his word, we've been in the purity of his word. In the purity of his word, what happens is we take that word in. That word has come into us. And now when we live our lives, wherever we go, whatever we do, we're just, that word is coming out, but it's pure. It's feeding people. It's water to people. It's nourishing to people. It's giving people life. It's causing things to grow. The purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the reality of these words in us is manifesting from us, and it's having a good influence. My friends, it's so simple. This is the most simple illustration as you can see before you. It's this. What you choose to spend your time in will have a direct consequence on how you influence the people around you and the world in which you live. If you choose to spend time being influenced by the television, by the negative news and negative people, you will be a person who is negative and having a negative influence in your life. But if you choose to spend your time in the Word of God, believing the words of Jesus Christ, saying, I believe the gospel of Jesus, I'm going to believe these words. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by emotions. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to allow the Word of God to be the thing that I put my faith and trust in. I don't care what the x-ray says. I don't care. I'll change the x-ray by the words of my mouth. You say you sound like a madman. You're, to you it may be mad. To you it may be mad. They used to call them lunatics. You know where the word lunatic comes from? It comes from those who looked into the stars and the lunar universe, stargazers, people who thought that one day man might walk on the moon, lunatics. Let me tell you something. When Jesus tells us that we can move mountains, I believe we can move mountains. When Jesus says to us, your faith can change everything on planet Earth, including x-rays, I believe that. Jesus says this in another portion of Scripture. Believe and receive. Matthew, Gospel, chapter 21. Believe and receive. My friends, he's calling us this morning to believe and receive. Are you ready for it? Praise God. I want to go into a couple of the words in this verse now as we just dismiss the children. I haven't got long left, just very briefly. I want to go into the word abide. The word abide in this verse, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. You know, that word abide is mentioned in another place in the Gospel of John. It's in the previous chapter, in fact, chapter 14. I'll just read it to you. It's good, you know, when we're looking at words, to read those words in context. And in John chapter 14, we read these words. The same word is used. It says this, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, does the works. It's that dwelling, abiding and dwelling. The word abide, it's meaning to stay, to have a remain, to abide, to also it means to sojourn. I like that. To tarry, to sojourn, so to go with, always remaining together. So in other words, wherever I go, whatever I do, whoever I'm with, his word is still abiding with me. You see what I mean? So let's say it's okay to be like this in the church, but how am I in another type of meeting that I may have when there's non-Christians there? How am I then? Are his words abiding with me then? Or let's say when I'm in work and they're all making fun of me. They want to make fun of me and they want to poke fun at me. Or in school. We're at university. You know, how am I then? What he's saying is, the words abide mean that wherever we are, wherever we go, those words must be with us. We're not those types of people to say, oh, well, you know, if I carry this type of perspective, these friends are going to mock me and make fun of me. So what? I couldn't care less if they mock. If they mock, what do you mean if they mock? You know, you get a bunch of men together, you know. Get a bunch of men together and they all like sheep just going their own way, you know. Just like, you know. Most of the time. I guess women are the same, I don't know. But men, you get a bunch of men. It's so often the case, you know. And they just, you know, everyone wants to, you know. What I found was that they would come to me one by one afterwards, pour out their hearts, and sometimes there'd be tears, but not doing that in the group. So why would I be bothered about standing up? What I know is this, when we stand up for the Lord Jesus, whoever we're with, what happens is, you know, he then expects us to do that. Who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before the Father in heaven. So we have to acknowledge whoever it is. But what if it costs you? Yeah, so what? If it costs, it costs. I mean, we've got to be full on for this gospel. Let me tell you, we've got to be full on. Now, I'm not saying that you just are unwise. I think we've got to be wise as well. Jesus calls us to be as wise as a serpent, so and harmless as a dove. So there's a time for everything. And it takes wisdom to know when to say something, when to keep quiet, when to stand up, when not just to mind your, you know, it takes wisdom to do that. But we have to be prepared to do it always. And we have to carry his words with us always. And we must never go against his word. That's one thing we know for sure. So when push comes to shove and they make a decision that goes against his word, well, then we can't do that. We can't be partakers of that. Because his word is abiding in us. But here's the problem. Many people don't spend enough time influenced by the word to know what it says. And here's another part of the illustration. When you're squeezed in life, when the pressure's on, when things are going wrong, when not everything's going straightforward and smooth, when it gets difficult, what comes out of you? If you're abiding in his word, it's okay, no pressure. His word will come out. You're going to be squeezed. Jesus promises that. Jesus says, every day has enough trouble of its own. You think you're the only one with troubles? It just shows your ignorance. Everyone in this place has got troubles of one kind or another. There's troubles. Jesus promised every day we'll have troubles. That's not the question. Everyone's going to have troubles. Immature people think their troubles are more than anyone else's. Immature people don't want to help other people in their troubles because they've got enough to be going on with themselves. Thank you very much. Well, you know, we've all got troubles. We need to help and care and be there for one another. That's what being in the family of God is all about. But, you know, what happens with so many people, sadly, is this. They spend time in the negative, watching the television, watching those stupid soaps, watching the crazy news. And then when they get squeezed, what comes out? It's all rubbish, pollution, filth, get in a bad mood. And it's worse than just that, because what happens is that when they do that, they upset everyone who loves them and cares for them and wants the best for them. And they make enemies of people who love them and care for them and want the best for them, because filth has been put in them. Filth comes out. So it's very important that we only allow that which is pure and true into ourselves. Now look, the world is the world, and there's going to be influences, but we can make a decision for the purity of the gospel to be in us. How do we do it? In the morning when I wake up and I have a bit of breakfast, I tell you what, I want to get that word in me straight away. I have my breakfast. I'm not like Micah. Micah can read the word. She's very disciplined. She gets up every morning. She gets up before anyone else. She goes down. She opens up the Bible. And she has her little breakfast. And she's reading the word. She's in the word. And she's got a commentary. And she does her study straight away. Bang. I go to sleep later than Micah at night. And I get up round about the same time we wake up. But I stay in a little bit more. Let her get going with the coffee. And then I come down, but I can't get I don't get into the thing. So with the books and the reading, and no, I can't do it. So I have a little bit of breakfast, and then what I'm doing is I'm watching Jesse Duplantis or Kenneth Copeland or Jerry Savile or Creflo Dollar or Bill Winston or one of those faith preachers. I like those faith people. Where we believe in those faith people. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention it. The book that I wrote, Word of Faith, Exposing the Critic's Mythology. A mythology is being created against the Word of Faith movement. It's a complete mythology. That book is ready now. I've had people complaining about Amazon. Apparently, it takes a bit of time for it to get up and delivery quick on Amazon. So I've got copies of the book. So this evening, what we're going to be doing is I'll bring the copies of the book. If you've got an order with Amazon, cancel it, and you can get the book this evening. I'll bring the books this evening. And I'm going to share about the book this evening. So if you're interested in that, we'll go through it this evening. But I get those people. I get under their influence. I see them. You know, speaking faith, and it stimulates me, and I get going that way. But it's over breakfast. I don't want to listen to the news. I don't want to listen to other things. It's all bad stuff. I don't want that negativity going in my mind first thing. Thank you very much. I want faith. I want things that are positive, uplifting. Things are going to inspire me. And then, you know, throughout the day, it's the same thing. I want to listen to those people. I want to be under their influence. I want that to inspire me and build me up. And I'm advising everyone to do the same thing at different times in the day. Expose yourself to the truth, those good things. You see, when you do, what's happening is you're allowing yourself to be filled with the clear. This is the washing of the word. You know, it washes us. It causes us to have a good influence. It causes good things to come from us when we're squeezed. But if you don't listen to those things, I promise you, the world will have its influence on you. How do you know? Well, you've got an imagination. You've got a mind. And your imagination and your mind isn't switch offable. You can't switch it off. So if you're not in the things of God, the world will take over its influence. And it happens naturally. You just listen to people talking, you listen to the news, you listen to other things that the world is pouring out, and soon enough, you'll become infected by negativity, doubt, and fear. Fear, negativity, doubt, it'll all come rushing in. And so this is why I'm saying, don't be tricked. Allow positive influence. If you can read the word direct, study it. And by the way, don't just read it. Don't just say, you know, I'm going to read 6 chapters a day, every day, or whatever it might be. You know, it's good to have an aim, but don't read it in that stiff way. Don't be stiff with the Word of God. It's not about that. It's not about how much you read it. It's about how much you're understanding and how much subsequently is dwelling in you. That's what it's about. How much have you got? You know, there was a bloke I knew. He would quote the Bible all the time. Huge chunks of it, you know. Just read off huge chunks. He memorized huge chunks. He hadn't got a clue how to manifest that in his life. It was worthless. So when we read it, I go like this. I get that verse, and I'm gonna read it, and I'm gonna say, oh wow, Lord, abide. Okay, this is what it means to abide. I look it up in the dictionary. I have a Strong's Concordance linked in, and I look it up. I say, what does that word mean, abide? Oh, it means to sojourn. Wherever I go, the word is abiding with me. Oh, it means not to depart. Don't depart from the word. It also means not to leave. It means to continue to be present. Dwell as if it were within him. It means to be continually operative in him by his divine influence and energy. Oh, that's dwelling in the word. Ah. And then speak it over. In the Old Testament, you know, the Jews and the Jews of the new church, we know that the New Testament church is a Jewish church. We know that, don't we? Well, what it means to meditate on the word in the Old Testament is that we murmur and confess. That's what it meant to meditate. So you speak out, if you abide in me. Find yourself, you know, thinking of it. Find yourself a nice chair. Sit in the chair. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Oh, that can't be true, surely. Can that be true? Do we really believe that? Well, let's dwell on it. Let's meditate on it. And I tell you, I promise what happens. When that word sinks from there into there, it manifests out there. If it doesn't manifest out there, I promise you it's not in there. It might be in there, but it's not in there, because when it's in there, it will manifest out there. Oh, I can't afford the fees. I can't afford the Bible college fees. can't afford the fees. Well? Or something else. I can't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Couldn't happen. Couldn't do it. You don't understand our situation. It's all right for you. Well, let me tell you something. When I bought my first property, I had no money at all. I didn't even have the solicitor's money. And I went to God in prayer. And what he told me was that I wouldn't, from the word, he said, you wouldn't fail to receive 100-fold in this life. And I said, Lord, I don't want 100-fold right now. I just want one. One house would be great. Anything's got to be better than this small little room that I'm living in with a crack in the window and the bathroom that has a big yellow bucket in it where the bloke is washing his clothes all the time. Anything's going to be better than this. No central heating or anything. It was cold in that place. Didn't even have a fridge. I said, please, can we get a fridge? I can pay for a fridge. Nope. Nothing wrong with the fridge. Well, the fridge didn't work. I said, Lord, please, can I, please, have you got more in store for me, Lord? He said, go and look for a house. I said, Lord, I don't even have the money for the solicitors. How can I look for a house? He said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked if you could believe for it. Now, you see, some people, that's it, they just stop there. No, not for me, not for me, not for me. Okay, fine. Yeah, you're right, it's not for you. You're right, it's not for you. That's your choice. You're perfectly entitled to make your choice. You live your life as you are, and that's it. I'll go my way, you go yours. I'm going to walk in faith. See what God will do. I want you to enjoy the same thing. That's why I'm giving you this testimony and opening my heart before you this morning. I'm just pointing to Jesus. That's all I'm doing. And my own frailty and inability to provide for myself. Because I haven't got it. But he does. And he loves us. And he cares for us and he wants the best for us. And all he's asking for us to do is this. He's saying, listen, give me your life. Give me your time. Allow my word to dwell in you, and then you'll manifest my word. But if you won't allow my word to dwell in you, you won't manifest it. And you live your life. Up to you, your choice. You got free will. But he's so gracious with us. He's saying to us all the time, come on, make a change. Come on, you can do it. I think of it sometimes like this, you know, like let's say if we had someone sitting on here, you know, perhaps one of the children, you know, standing on the edge there. And let's just pretend, go with me. This is the way my mind works sometimes. There's a huge cavity, okay? It's like a cavity. It's like that place in America. What do they call it with the... The Grand Canyon. It's like the Grand Canyon. And the Grand Canyon, you see all the water. Right down there's all horses and donkeys and stuff. All sorts of people, you see them down there. There's one of the little children is there. Now, we're here. Now, it's like this with God. God fixes it that... There's a rope attached to your back. There's like one of those invisible ropes. You know those invisible metal things? It's like God's pulley system. He's not going to let you fall. He won't let you fall. He's just saying, come on, jump. Come on, jump. Like a good dad, you know, come on, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. I'm not going to let you fall. I won't let you fall. I've got good things in store on this side. Come on, jump. But the one on this side said, well, nope. Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm looking down there, and I'm not jumping. It's too frightening. But if they just jump, and they say, do you know what? All right, I'm going to believe him. And I jump, and they come, and they enter into a whole new realm of life. It's called the kingdom of God. That's what it's called. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He taught about being born again in the context of kingdom. This is the kingdom life on this side. And every individual has to make a choice to live in it. And we live in it by abiding in his word. It's not a place for the emotions or human rationale. It's a place where the word of God leads us. And then we become more than conquerors. And then we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. This is the place of victory. This is the place of victory. And he's calling us to live in that. Oh, isn't he so wonderful? This God who we serve, this Jesus who loves us so much. Don't you just want to open up the doors of the church and open up the windows and just shout? I just want to shout and tell everyone about Jesus. He's so wonderful. Jesus puts the hope where there is no hope. Jesus is about rescuing people that need to be rescued. Jesus is about new life, giving people new life, introducing them into the kingdom. I'm so happy and enthusiastic for what's going to happen at Christmas time out here. I'm really looking forward to it. Are you? Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows what can happen? We could have, it'd just be lovely out there. Who knows what could happen? And we're going to invite the people in. And I even thought, you know what it'd be nice to do? When the people come in and they see this, they see like the nativity scene there, they have a nice hot chocolate or something. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we had a Bible exhibition in that room at the back? Have a table in the middle, just a simple little Bible exhibition. History of the Bible on a timeline going around, little timesheet. I saw one when I was on holiday. I thought that'd be nice, just a little thing, you know, just to inspire people, just to show how the Bible has shaped our society, how the laws were shaped by the Bible and everything else, just to give honor to God, really, just to honor him. Let's stand as we close, shall we? Father in heaven, Lord, we want to be people who are influenced by the truth of your word. Lord, we want to be those who are influenced by the purity of your gospel. We want the purity, Lord, of your gospel to be the thing that's influencing us, the thing that's having hold on our lives, the word of God, that we have hope and faith in our lives to believe for the impossible, to experience the impossible. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. Whether it's financial, whether it's miraculous healing, whether it's something emotional, whether it's all those things for other people. Father God, we thank you that you've given us a doorway to the supernatural life of the kingdom of God. And Lord, we want to live in that. With every eye closed, with no one speaking, every eye closed, listen, I'm asking you to make a commitment to God. If you want to live this life that I've spoken about this morning and be under the influence of the word of God, just go to God, respond to God now. Maybe God is calling you to say yes to him this morning. Say yes to him. Lift up your hand now and say, yes, that's for me. I want to be under the influence of the word of God to the degree that it comes out of me. Hallelujah. My hands are lifted. I'm lifting both my hands up. Father, we are responding to you this morning. And we're asking for your will to be done. Yes, I will, Lord. You see the hands responding? Yes. One final thing this morning. Let me say this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the gospel in a nutshell. You've sinned in your life. You've done things which are wrong. Sin means missing the mark. You've missed the mark in your life. You've missed the mark in your life. You've done wrong. If you appear before God, he sees you as guilty. There's a heaven and there's a hell in eternity, and you will end up in hell. That's what the scriptures teach. That's what I believe. There's a hell destination waiting for people who are guilty before God. And you're guilty before God, but Jesus made a way for you. And if you say yes to Jesus Christ, what Jesus did was this. He said, they're all guilty, God, but I'm dying on this cross so that they could be forgiven. So that when they put their faith in me, they will be washed as clean. Just like this water washes. If you put your faith in Jesus, he will wash you clean. All your sins are washed when you put faith in Jesus. And you're clean before God. Otherwise, you're guilty. Your sin is a guilt stain before God. But through Jesus, you can be washed clean. And that's all you have to do is say, I believe in Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I want to be washed clean. You don't need to understand it all. You just need to believe it. And the Spirit of God leading you to that decision will take care of the details afterwards. So every eye closed, no one looking around, everyone in prayer, I'm going to make this invite. If you haven't made Jesus your Lord and Savior, but you really know that you should this morning, I'm going to invite you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior right now. Put your hand in the air right now. You respond to God right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. I see two people have responded this morning. Let me tell you this. You respond to God this morning. Your response to God, he's seen your response. He knows your response. Know this. He's with you. He's forgiven you through Jesus, through your testimony of faith. As you raise your hand, you confirm that inward thing that's happened, which was your desire to follow Jesus. And so he's seen that, and that's confirmed by the raising of your hand. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for hands raised and people responding to that invite to become Christians. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in and through our lives and Living Faith Church. We commit ourselves to you now in his wonderful name. Praise God and amen. Amen. And if anyone needs prayer, you come to the front and we'll pray. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.